The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume our study this evening back into the text where we will begin Genesis 25. We'll do verses 1 through 11 as a unit. All right, if you've not already done so, we will give you opportunity to check yourself spiritually to make sure you are in the right category to assimilate the truth of doctrine, that is, through the filling of God with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you need to rebound, you do so as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth in the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Following chapter 24 and Isaac and Rebekah in they're being brought together by God as right man and right woman. Verses 1 through 11 of chapter 25 finishes out, if you will, footnotes Abraham's remaining days of life. And in this regard, we've titled these verses Abraham's Remarriage and Final Days. Verse 1, now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. Yeah, the wow consecutive. Then the verb took another is the hifil causative. Imperfect third masculine singular, our verb yasaph, Y-A-S-A-P-H. Literally means to add, increase, do again. So he added another or took another. That being Abraham, the subject of the verb. Wow, consecutive. Then you have the verb to take. He added another and he took in the Hebrew, literally. The cow, imperfect third masculine singer, our verb at lakach, L-A-Q-A-C-H. A wife. Our common feminine singer, noun absolute, Ishasha, I-S-H-S-H-A-H. And her name, vowel conjunction, common masculine singer, noun constructed, third feminine singer suffix, Shem, S-H-E-M, her name, Keturah, Q-E-T-H-U-R-A-H, Keturah. Literally in the Hebrew. And then we have the offspring from her. Next verses. Verse 2, and she bore to him, that being Abraham, Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And she bore is a wow consecutive, followed with our verb Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. Begat, gave birth to, if you will, cal and perfect third feminine singer. To him is the preposition lamed with the third masculine singer suffix. And then you have the sign of direct object. You'll have the same construction with each of the individuals mentioned here. Then the first one, proper noun, Zimran in the Hebrew, Z-I-M-E-R-A-N. Zimran, transliterated. Wow, conjunction, sign of direct object. Next in the list is Yakishan. Y-A-Q-E-S-H-A-N. 25 years I've been working with computers, and I still can't figure one out. Simple as this. Yakushan, then the next in the list, wow, conjunction, sign of direct object, proper noun, Medan, M-E-B-A-N, transliterated exactly, Medan. Wow, conjunction, sign of direct object, then Midian, Medayan, M-I-D-E-Y-A-N. Wow, conjunction, sign of the direct object, proper noun, Yeshivak, Y-E-S-H-E-B-B-A-Q, transliterated Ishbak. You have the hard sounding B. When you have a double B, that means hard sounding, the consonant versus a V or soft sound. As you know that because the dog is forte or the little dot in the Hebrew letter. Anyway, wow, conjunction, sign of direct object. Then finally in this list, Shuach. S-H-U-A-C-H. Shuach. Verse 3, and we have an extended lineage from certain of the sons from Keturah. And Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan. Wow, conjunction. Then the proper noun Jokshan, transliterated, became the father of our verb Yalad, cow perfect, third masculine singular, Y-A-L-A-D. This is mother's gave birth. His father became the father of. Sign of direct object. In the first, our proper noun Sheba, S-H-E-B-A, wow, conjunction, sign of direct object, and then the name Dedan, transliterated, D-E-D-A-N. Then we have extended from Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherin, Latushim, and Lunmin. Wow, conjunction, sons of is the common masculine plural construct ben, B-E-N. Dedan, became, came into existence, our cow perfect third common plural verb hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Asherim, A-S-H-U-R-I-M. Wow conjunction, then Lethushim, L-E-T-H. U-S-H-I-Y-M, Latushim. Wow conjunction, then the final one again, Leumim, L-E-U-M-M, should be I-Y-M. Verse 4, and further, so we go from Abraham's sons to his grandsons to further grandsons here. The sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher, Hanak and Abida and Eldaa. Wow, conjunction, sons are now being repeated. Sons of, same construct as previous verse. First noun, or the first name here, Midian, again transliterated. The first one is Ephah, E-Y-P-H-A-H. Wow, conjunction, proper noun, in Epher, E-P-H-E-R. Come on. Wow, conjunction. Next one, Chanoke, C-H-A-N-O-K-E. Vowel conjunction, then Abida, A-B-I-Y-D-A, Abida. Vowel conjunction, then Elda'a, Elda'a, E-L-E-D-D-A-A-H. The connective wow. Then all these were the sons of Keturah. All is your adjective, both plural. Kol, K-O-L. These is your, or that's your noun, excuse me, common masculine singular construct. All of, then follow with the adjective, these, both plural, Ella. E-L-L-E-H. Sons are now Ben, Keturah, Abraham's wife. Verse 5, now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. So we go from the list of offspring to his gifting or passing on an inheritance. You have the wow consecutive. Our verb to give here is a Cal Imperfect Third Masculine Singular, Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N. Follow with the proper noun, Abraham. Sign of direct object, our common masculine singular noun construct again, Kol, K-O-L, all of, which was for him literally. You have the relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R, followed with the preposition Lamed with the third masculine singular suffix. To Isaac, it's preposition Lamed, followed with the name for Isaac. Come on. I wonder how much of this class I'm going to get done in fellowship. All right, I'm back in, don't worry. Before I go any further, I will get back in. At verse 6, now I've revised this a little bit to get us closer to the Hebrew in the New American Standard, but to the sons of the concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. We have literally, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts. You had the wow conjunction, but to the sons of, the preposition Lamed, preceding the common plural construct noun ben, again, sons of, being the concubines, literally, is a definite article, common feminine plural absolute noun, pelegesh, P-I-Y-L-E-G-E-S-H. We saw it back in chapter 22, verse 24, which were for Abraham, literally, in the Hebrew, translated his in the New American Standard. Preposition Lamed, or first relative pronoun, Asher, followed with the preposition Lamed, followed by the name Abraham. Then he gave Abraham, literally, gifts. He gave, again, is our verb, Nathan, Cal Perfect Third Masculine Singular. Then Abraham, then our noun for gifts, common feminine plural, absolute, Matana, M-A-T-T-A-N-A-H. And sent them away from his son Isaac while still living. That's where it's at in the Hebrew. Eastward to the land of the east. That makes it clear that he did all this when he was alive. It wasn't anything that was passed down by a will or anything like that. Vowel consecutive. Our verb to send away is the PL, imperfect third masculine singular, which is emphatic, with the third masculine plural suffix. He booted them out and gave them no choice. Move out. Shalak, S-H. Alach. From his son Isaac, you had the preposition men, followed with the preposition all. M-I-N plus A-all, A-L, excuse me. From against or near, if you will, getting away from being close to him is the idea. Isaac, transliterated. His son is your noun, common masculine singular construct, with the third masculine singular suffix again, Ben. In the phrase while still living, you have the preposition bet, followed with the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix ode, O-D, literally in ongoing life is the Hebrew, awkward for us in the English. That's while still, as is translated. Then our adjective for life here, masculine singular absolute, K-C-H-A-Y. Followed with the preposition kedem, Q-E-D-E-M, eastward. Followed with the preposition el, E-L. Then our noun for land, common feminine singular construct, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Then kedem, repeated here as a noun, common masculine singular absolute, to the land of the east. Verse 7. And these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. A while conjunction, our adjective these, obviously as a demonstrative adjective, both plural, ella, E-L-L-E-H. And literally in the Hebrew, these are all the days of the years. You have first, next, the common masculine plural noun construct yom, a word for days. Then our noun for years, common feminine plural construct shana, S-H-A-N-A-H. These are the days of the years. The life of is our noun again, K, common masculine plural construct, C-H-A-Y. Abraham, transliterated. That he lived or wish he lived, relative pronoun is share. And then our noun for life, living, common masculine singular again, K, repeated. Then our age here, first is your adjective for 100, feminine singular construct, Me'a, M-E. A-H, follow again with our noun for years, shana, 100 years, and while conjunction, the Hebrew breaks down each of these segment of years. I missed 100 years, then while conjunction, and our next number here, cardinal adjective, both plural absolute, shebeim, S-H-I-B-E-I-Y-M, our number 70, years, shana, repeated. And then finally our number 5, the wow conjunction, and the adjective, feminine singular absolute, kamesh, C-H-A-M-E-S-H, and 5 years. 100 years and 70 years and 5 years. I guess if you want to learn Hebrew, you have to learn how to add. Math and the language go together. Verse 8. And Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age. While consecutive. Then our phrase breathed his last is the cal imperfect third masculine singular verb gawa. G-A-W-A. Literally, he exhaled. He breathed his last. He expired. Sometimes translated, he gave up the ghost, gave up the soul, the spirit, was the idea. while conjunction or while consecutive, he breathed his last, and then he died. The last breath, death, obviously, is the obvious result. The cow, imperfect third masculine singular, a verb to die, muth, M-U-T-H. Abraham, transliterated, in a ripe old age, is preposition bet, in, then followed with our noun for age, common feminine singular absolute, seva, S-E-Y-V-A-H, in an age, literally a good one. You have the adjective feminine singular absolute, tov, T-O-V, translated ripe old age, a good old age. An old man and satisfied with life understood, and he was gathered to his people. An old man is the adjective masculine singular absolute, zaken, Z-A-Q-E-N. Then the wow conjunction, then our word translated satisfied, satiated, sated, the adjective masculine singular absolute, our word seva, S-E-B-A, where we get our number seven from in the Hebrew, the consonants used. And was gathered, while consecutive, with followed with a nifl verb, imperfect third masculine singular, asaf, A-S-A-P-H, to his people, his kinsmen, relatives, preposition L, E-L, follow with the common masculine plural noun, construct with the third masculine singular suffix am, A-M. It's just crazy. Verse 9. Then his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. Wow, consecutive. Then our verb to bury here, cow and perfect third masculine plural, kabar, Q-A-B-A-R. Then they buried, assigned a direct object with the third masculine singular suffix, eth, E-T-H, him, that Ben Abraham. Then those doing the burying here, burial is the proper noun Isaac, transliterated, wow conjunction, and then Ishmael, transliterated. His sons, the sons of him, literally common masculine plural construct with third masculine singular suffix Ben, B-E-N. In the cave of Machpelah, preposition L, N, 2, in our noun for cave, common feminine singular construct, me-ara, M-E-A-R-A-H. Definite article in the proper noun, name, Machpelah. It should be a M-A-K-E-P-E-L-A-H. Shouldn't be a P on the end of that. In the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, facing Mamre, that we saw, that was purchased by Abraham a couple chapters back there. In the field of is a preposition L again, our noun for field, common masculine singular construct, Sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. Ephron, transliterated, Ephron, the son of, our noun Ben, Zohar, transliterated, he being the Hittite, definite article, proper noun, transliterated. Facing Mamre, you have the relative pronoun, Asher, put it in there. Followed with the preposition all, followed with the common both plural construct noun paneh, P-A-N-E-H, which against the face of, or upon the face of, hence facing, then the location is mammary, proper noun. Verse 10. The field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, there Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. The field, again, our noun, Sadeh, S-A-D-E-H, here with the definite article, common masculine singular absolute, which, your relative pronoun, a share, he acquired or purchased, is your cow, perfect third masculine singular verb, kana, Q-A-N-A-H, that being Abraham. Then you have the preposition men, followed with the sign of direct object, and our noun for sons again, in the construct, common masculine plural, ben, from the sons of Heth, transliterated, there or in that place, is the adverb shum, S-H-A-M, there in that place, he was buried. The Nifal perfect third masculine singular verb, kavar, Q-A-B-A-R, that being Abraham, vowel conjunction with Sarah, his wife, they're laid together, proper noun Sarah, his wife is Ishasha, common feminine singular, construct of the third masculine singular suffix, I-S-H, S-H-A-H. Verse 11, we have the transition now that's going to occur contextually. And it came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac lived by Be'er Lahai Roy. While consecutive, then our word came about, came to be, is the Cal and perfect third masculine singular Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. After is the adverb Acheray, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. Then our noun for death is a common masculine singular construct, Muth, M-U-T-H. Came about after the death of Abraham, transliterated, that he blessed, that being God, his son Isaac. While consecutive, followed with our verb to bless, PL and perfect third masculine singular Barak, B-A-R-A-K, followed with the noun for God, common masculine plural, absolute Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. Sign of direct object, Isaac. His son, our noun Ben, with the third masculine singular suffix. And Isaac lived by Be'er Lahai Roy. While consecutive, follow with the Cal imperfect verb, third masculine singular, Ashav, Y-A-S-H-A-V. He remained or lived, that being Isaac. At is your preposition in, I-N, and then the proper noun, Be'er Laka Roy. And you have the end of paragraph, Samak, in the Hebrew text. All right. Rereading the verses here quickly. Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah. And she bore to him Zimron, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shuah, six sons. Verse 3, and Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan, as grandsons for Abraham. And the sons of Dedan, now great-grandsons, were Asherim, Datushim, Leumim. You know, those are in the plural. Looks at them as a peoples. Verse 4, and the sons of Midian were Ephah and Epher, and Hanoch, Avida, and Eldaah. All these were the sons of Keturah. Verse 5, now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. verse 6, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from his son Isaac while still living, eastward to the land of the east. And all, these are all the years, verse 7, of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. Verse 8, and Abraham breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man sated with life. And he was gathered to his people. Verse 9, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, facing Mamre. The field, verse 10, which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, there Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. In verse 11, it came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac lived by Er Lahai Roy. All right, the now this is verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11 are a synopsis of Abraham's final 35 years of life. We would date it from 1806 to 1771 B.C. That 1771 being the year Abraham died. Having been 140 years old at the time of Isaac's marriage and 175 at the time of his death, verse 20 tells us that Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah. Obviously, Abraham had Isaac when he was 100, so he had been 140 at the marriage, and that he died at 175 here in our verse 7 denotes a 35-year span. So 10, this ends the recording of Abraham's life, having been presented chronologically beginning at age 70 in 1876 B.C., back at Genesis 12, verse 1. So, obviously, everything that we've seen so far recorded for us has been in chronological or in sequence of Abraham's life, one event after another. You don't have any going back and forth in time. So that, understanding that, we can safely assume here that all this occurs after the death of Sarah with respect to the final years of Abraham's life that's in view. So 3, sometime after the death of Sarah, the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah, Abraham took another wife, Ishishah, one named Keturah. 4, now her name is a derivative of Qatar in the Hebrew, Q-A-T-A-R, which means to burn incense or sacrifices. What significance it may have, I couldn't tell you. 5, she is referred to as Abraham's concubine, our term Pelegesh, and specifically in 1 Chronicles 1:32, as also now in our verse 6, with the term used in the plural concubines. So we see that the term concubine, based on Keturah, is used quite loosely in regards to one who is actually a wife of another. And while she is a wife, legally, the difference is she does not have the status of the favored wife, if you will, of the husband in view, whether the previous wife has died or whether she's still alive, as with Hagar and Sarah. So here, 1 Chronicles 1:32 specifically uses that term with respect to Keturah, but also Moses is recording her as being his wife, Ishishah, his woman. And the sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, Pelegesh, 1 Chronicles 1:32. And then you had the list brought out. So a concubine was not just some sleepover or someone that they wanted to bed with. There was someone that they took in a legitimate way of marriage. That meant that they would get support from the husband and all the other benefits that one would find in a married woman with her husband, accepting that she did not have the status, if you will, of the wife, of the husband's choice otherwise, the favored wife. And that obviously being Sarah, the first woman that Abraham married. So, 6, and then in our verse 7, too far ahead here. These are all the years of Abraham's life. Verse 6. To the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living. So, the term is concubine is used in our passage, but in the plural with respect to Keturah. So, 6, verse 6. Joins Hagar back at 16, verse 3, chapter 16, as we remember that setting, with Keturah in marital roles designed to fulfill the covenant promise of Abraham becoming, quote, the father of a multitude of nations, end quote. Not just one nation, not just the Hebrews, but a multitude of nations. Again, that promise was given to him as part of the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 17. 4, 5, and 6. And while Hagar was not referred to specifically as a concubine, she was in the wife status in regards to her person back when she was introduced in 16:3 upon Sarah's suggestion. The whole attitude about sex, it seems, in the Old Testament is different from what you kind of see today. I mean, how many wives you know tell their husband, well, yeah, I'll just take the maid here. She's good looking enough. You know, but marry her too and sleep with her. Of course, you have people out there that can do that. What class of human beings they come from, they have something that I don't have. There's no way in the world I could have more than one wife at a time. As intriguing as it might be, as fun as you might think it'd be, no thank you. And that's nothing against a wife, but it's just the responsibility and the issues, as with, like we saw with Sarah and Hagar. You know, these things come about. You got to deal with it. All right. So the principle at hand looks at the fact that in this case, the concubines had a designed purpose by God for Abraham, and that is to multiply the number of nations that he would father in regards to his life as part of the Abrahamic covenant. Not just a couple, but many. So 7 now through Keturah. So Sarah's died. Abraham has remarried some 3, 4, 5 years down the road. From her death, if we dated everything right, with Isaac being 37 at her death, so he remarries. He's still got quite a chunk of life to live yet, some 35 years, some 3.5 decades to go. So this kind of tells you the kind of shape this guy was in at 140 years old. So 7 now through Keturah, Abraham fathered 6 sons, as we see per verse 2. 8, now their names and meanings, as extracted from the book All the Men of the Bible by Lockyer, authored by Lockyer, produced by Zondervan, with additional Old Testament references, were first name Zimron, that means celebrated, or the singer. So as we can see, some of these names are questionable in regards to their exact meanings. Celebrated, or the singer. Zimron's mentioned one other time in 1 Chronicles 1:32 that we just saw in the list of Keturah's sons. B, the next on the list is Jokshan. That name means fowler. He's a hunter of birds, basically. Used also, as we saw in verse 3, an extended lineage. Then he's mentioned in the list in 1 Chronicles 1:32. See, in the next on the list is Medan, and that means judgment. He's mentioned here in 1 Chronicles 1:32. D, the next, Midian, means strife or contention. That name's used 54 times. And it is through his line that we see the tribe of Midian giving Israel all kinds of hell in their history. E, next is Ishbak. That means free or empty or exhausted. Take your pick. Maybe all three. Who knows? Here, 1 Chronicles 1:32. F, the last here, Shua, means prosperity or depression, which I guess a lot of prosperous people are on drugs for depression. So maybe that's where all that comes from. Who knows? 1 Chronicles 1:32. We note here in regards to Shua that possibly Bildad, the Shuite, as he's referred to in the book of Job, as one of the friends of Job, was from this line. As mentioned, the cited verses here, Job 2:11, this particular friend of Job. Job had three friends, heard of all the adversity that came upon him, that came each one from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. And he's mentioned as a Shuhite at least four more times. 8:1, Bildad, the Shuhite, answered. Important, if you can figure it out, why he's referred to by his common ancestry in that regards. 18:1, just as a note of interest, Bildad, the Shuhite, responded. 25:1, again, same phrasing. Bildad the Shuhite, and then he's mentioned one other time in such fashion in chapter 42, the final chapter, verse 9. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord told him, and the Lord accepted Job. So to connect the dots, if one is into that, that is a possible connection. In lineage, he would have been, his friends would have been in that line. Job lived around the time of Abraham by conservative estimates. 9, Zimron, here in the list, a little bit more background on him. each one of these. 9, Zimron is associated with the southern Arabian people, as with Jokshan and Medan. There are areas of residence, etc. You're looking in the area of Saudi Arabia today, maybe as far as Iraq, in that general vicinity. So 10, Midian, father of the Midianites, which are first seen in the era of Moses, after the fact here, in Numbers 25, 17, 31, 2, and were the enemy of Israel during the Judges era, hostilities towards them. They're in Judges, Numbers 25, 17. The Lord spoke to Moses, verse 16, saying, "Be hostile to the Midianites and strike them." So that hostility was commanded by God for Israel to aggressively attack. Also 31:2. So whatever they were as beginning fathers of these peoples, as believers, adjusted, maladjusted, obviously by the time Israel rolls around for the conquest, the exodus, and the conquest, the peoples as a peoples numerically were generally hostile to Israel. And that's how far south they've gone, southern Arabia. 31:2. And take full, again, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, "Take full vengeance for the sons of Israel and the Midianites. Afterward, you will be gathered to your people." Then, again, they're mentioned in their hostilities in Judges 6. There, basically the entire chapter. Great portion of it. They were not willing to humble themselves before God via the people. The sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. So God would use nations that obviously they had otherwise, they were supposed to go in, they were supposed to regulate them, conquer them, and when they got out of source, Israel went into reversionism. Then he would reverse the situation. And that obviously would sting big time for the nation, you know, to be in the hands of these dogs, as they would look at it. And the Lord gave them in the hands of Midian 7 years. And the power of Midian prevailed against Israel, because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. Took to living away from any urban area, hiding out. These people were not pleasant to be around. Get away from them. For it was when Israel had sown, verse 3, that the Midians would come up with the Amalekites and sons of the east and go against them. Many times these tribes would ally with one another. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. So they were the types that would just raise the land. And no compassion whatsoever, types of people. For they would come up with their livestock, verse 5, and their tents. They would come in like locusts for number, a bunch of them. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came to the land to devastate it. Just exploit it as much as possible. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian. The sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Sometimes God has to put the screws to people in the most severe way for them to finally come to their senses.
Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel and said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, It was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians, from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. All this because of their reversionism, of abandoning the truth of doctrine in regards to their national priesthood. And verse 11, then the angel of the Lord came, set an oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Bezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us to the hand of Midian. Gideon is raised up by God in Israel at this time. And God uses him in deliverance. And the Lord looked at him and said, Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Here is the angel of the Lord, probably none other than Yahweh himself, as he appeared to Abraham. And he said to him, verse 15, Gideon to Yahweh, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, part of the tribes of Israel, and I am the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man. So Gideon said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not part from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Then Gideon went in, prepared a kid and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour, and he put the meat in a basket, and broth in a pot, and brought them out to him and the goat, and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, Take the meat and unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff which was in his hand and touched the meat and unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Now, if you want a sign, here's the sacrifice. Supernatural. And obviously, you can't blame him for saying, Well, can you? I mean, because he looks just human. When he appears in Christophany as such. And I know there's somebody just not leading me on here. You know. So anyway. Now, in verse 22, obviously, it was enough for Gideon when he saw that he was the angel of the Lord. He said, Alas, O Lord God, now I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said to him, Peace to you, do not fear, but you will not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, named the Lord is peace. To this day is still an Ophrah in the Abiezer rites. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, Take your father's bull, second bull, 7 years old, pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. Shows you how far down, again, in reversionism, Israel will tend to go. You have to say it. If they were on, they were on. If they weren't, man, they were all hell breaks loose with these people. So, no barriers. And he goes out and he does so and builds an altar to the Lord your God, verse 26, on top of the stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering, which is withered Asherah, which you shall cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of the servants, did as the Lord had spoken to him, and it came about because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, that he did it by night. Obviously, those around in society, they weren't buying anything like this to remove their religious freedom. That's what he's doing. 28, when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down. The second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. They said to one another, Who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. And the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he hath torn down the altar of Baal. Indeed, he was cut down by the Asherah which was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day he named him Jerubbaal, that is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he had torn down his altar. And all the Midianites and Amorites and sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. In the beginning of therein on this occasion anyway. These passages just give you a background of some of these sons and what they produced in their lineage. In chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, I will deliver you with 300 men who laughed, and will give the Midians into your hands, so let all the other people go, each man to his home. You don't need the rest of the army. I'll give you 300 handpicked by God. Verse 12, and now the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the sons of the east were lying in their valleys numerous as locusts, and their camels without number as numerous as the sand on the seashore. So they fought in numbers to overwhelm their enemy, basically, is their tactics. So 11, they too, Midian, were desert traders that lived in the Transjordan area near Israel. 12, and Moses married a Midianite woman. Exodus 3:1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And that was Jethro's daughter that he married in that respect. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten these things in Jesus' name. Amen.